You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right, like the dude just said. Yes, we are. And, oh, by the way, we are coming on now with our friend Jeff Poore from FM Talk 106.5. He's also the political editor at 1819 News, and he's an editor for Breitbart. So he's got his, you know, he's got his writings and his speakings all over the political environment. Jeff Poore, how you doing, buddy?
Doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Thank you. All right, man. Listen, I got various things that I've been covering down on. I'm in one section of my show right now, the Triple Dipper. We called it calling election aftershocks continue. So not the least of which is this freaky thing that you caught this past weekend. I mean, it was you that reeled that thing in about Wade Perry, the Democrat Party Executive Committee chairman, or Democrat Party Executive Director, I'm sorry. And he comes out and says, Katie Britt was a big help to us with the Doug Jones thing. And now the state GOP steering committee wants to know what's up. What are you hearing about this?
So this started circulating Friday night. I had a couple of people send it to me. And then I actually know Wade Perry fairly decently. He's been on my radio show a few times. Now, today's his last day as the executive director of the Alabama Democratic Party. I don't know if the lackluster showing last month had something to do with that or not, but he is today's his last day, and I didn't know what to make of this. He made some comments. Goes on social media at a quarter till nine on a Friday night when anything could be possibly happening there. I don't know if you go tweet on a Friday night.
Hold my beer.
I don't know if you know Alan Farley really well. He's a longtime state legislator. This is our last term, his swan song in the legislature, but a big, big Katie Britt super fan. And Wade gets on there, and you know how Alan likes to tweet a lot about Katie, and he gets on there, and I don't know if he's trolling Alan Farley or if he really means this, but whatever, he said it. Yep, she's pretty awesome. She was super helpful to us at the Doug Jones thing in 2017. Showed real leadership in supporting the gas tax increase for needed infrastructure improvements, and I think the world of her. Most Dems understand she just has to, quote, say, unquote, certain things. And so, as you might imagine, that blew up.
You'd think.
The thing is, Wade, though, has his tweets protected, so having been following him on Twitter for a long time, I just screenshotted them and stuck them up on our website so the world could see. So that being said, you imagine the hilarity that ensued after that.
Hilarity and panic.
We have anecdotal evidence of Democrats crossing over and going to vote in the Republican primary. I think that's true in Whatley's race. I think that's true in this at Anniston, a Senate seat, Del Mar's old seat. I think it's true in the Senate race. I think it's why Kay Ivey and Katie Britt outran the polls
I do too. Yeah.
So anyway, now we have a high-ranking Democrat official in this state, what few there are, saying as much, and I can see where Republicans might have some questions. However, if you don't like that process, I don't know what you do. You got to change the rules, right?
Well, let me ask you this. Let's speculate about why he tweeted it just for a minute. I mean, I see any number of options. Number one, you mentioned he may have just been trolling Alan Farley. Like, yeah, Alan, whatever, here you go. But then he may also have been, I heard someone say they think that he might well have been just sort of doing that, like, secret code, like, wink, wink, it's okay to go crossover vote, folks, and, you know, and basically go down that road. The other is some folks think that he's trying to press Katie's numbers down because they want Mo Brooks to be the guy they have to be campaigning against for November, which I don't think really matters, to be honest, which Republican. It's going to be a Republican no matter what. But your thoughts, why would he – or was it just one of those things like Friday night where he said, hold my beer, and he went at it?
I think it's a little bit of that. But if this was really some kind of surreptitious 4D chess he's playing here, Senator, I think he he unlocks his tweets, and he's not exactly a social media influencer. He has 1,781 followers. He's not really big on the grand scale of things. So anyway, you see this and you kind of think, I think he had just had a few soda pops on a Friday night and wanted to mess with Alan Farley, to be honest.
Nice. Okay. All right. Well, listen, next thing on the list, though, Brooks came out with a Charlie Kirk endorsement from Turning Point USA, I think yesterday. And we've got Britt came out with an endorsement from Sarah Huckabee Sanders, who you have now corrected me, rightfully so. She is the daughter of Mike Huckabee, a longtime Republican, and she worked in the Trump administration. So endorsements last minute after an election, waiting for a runoff. What do you think?
I think it's what's important about it. Now, Katie Britt's got, what, Joni Ernst, some other pseudo-establishment Republicans. Well, I think it's important there on the Katie Britt side is I think it's a green light to donors, to contributors, to give money. That is, you know, it does, this is who the so-called establishment is giving to. This is where you need to put your investment, and that's where that matters. On the Mo Brooks side, I do think it matters more maybe from a grassroots perspective. I don't know how much sway Turning Point USA has in the state of Alabama with the Republican voters. But I also think this, Senator, I think it's also kind of a nod to Trump to say this is kind of the guy that's on board with this populist movement that, you know, your supporters have really built.
Okay, well, you bring up the next thing on the list, though, bro. So we've got out of the blue, and I don't know that I saw this coming, but we've got Mo Brooks almost, some would say, begging for Trump to re-endorse him, basically getting out there and saying, hey, folks, make sure he knows I'm the one, the real MAGA supporter. You've got to re-endorse me, you know, President Trump. And I speculated on the air yesterday. Is that something, I mean, like, for instance, is it possible that they've already had the discussion, which I'm sure they have, already had the discussion about re-endorsement, and Trump's response was, you're going to have to ask for it out loud in public. I'm not going to just unilaterally look to be changing my mind. But then again, or is it just desperation reminding people that he's the MAGA guy?
I think a little of both, actually. I think Mo Brooks or his campaign is getting advice to say, if you really want that endorsement, you need to go make it seem like you really need it, like you need something from Trump, like you're asking for a favor. That's how you woo Donald Trump. That's how you win The Apprentice, right? Whatever. But I also think, like, look, this is it for Mo Brooks, right? There's no game two. This is game seven. It's the bottom of the ninth. It's time to start calling in some favors. It's time to start pulling some strings. And because this is what you're playing for. If you lose on June 21st, that's it. I mean, it's Buck's pocket territory, right? I don't know what else he does politically beyond this. So if you got some cards to play, you need to just play them when you can, where you can.
Buck's pocket territory. I have not heard that analogy in a long time.
Well, see, but you know what it is.
Yeah. It's, yes.
Well, you're there. What am I talking about, right?
It's also a beautiful place to go camping. I love it there. But anyway, all right, man. Well, listen, so we got 2 weeks from today, and we still got races being challenged. And one of the weirdest runoffs we got going too right now, I had Keith Kelly on a little while ago. He's the guy running for Del Marsh's seat over in Senate District 12. The crazy thing is we had a candidate in my old district, Senate District 10, that was not allowed on the ballot because her husband had been a Democrat judge whom she had supported, and she had supported Craig Ford, who was the Democrat minority leader, who also ran for my old seat when I chose not to run again. And yet, this over in Senate District 12, right next door, Wendy Gee Draper, running as Keith Kelly, she's on record as giving money to lots of Democrat candidates, to include Craig Ford again, and she's still on the ballot, and it's a runoff. What are your thoughts?
She got her picture made with Donald Trump, so that,
yeah,
you know, that certainly helps. I'm probably giving a bunch of money to Alabama Republican Party causes. Now, my understanding, the mayor of Anniston, that's her husband.
Yeah, the Democrat mayor of Anniston, yes.
But we have nonpartisan nonpartisan municipal elections, so maybe she gets a loophole there.
No.
I don't know. But look, she wasn't supposed to do very well, but she managed to. And I certainly think we're talking about closed primaries and things like this, and Democrats crossing over. I certainly think that that's what's going on there, because she was not expected to do well, and she did, and now maybe that's the source of it.
It may be. It's going to be interesting. And then I guess the last thing I was going to ask you, your thoughts, your insights, Senate District, 27, Tom Whatley down in Lee County, a one-vote difference. He's losing right now by one vote, but he has challenged one box in one county, Tallapoosa County. I'm assuming he knows something about that box or thinks he does. What are you hearing about this situation?
That's what I'm hearing, that they challenged the one box where they knew they could find enough votes to wrap this thing up. Even if they do find just one vote, it goes to the party chairman, and he is the tiebreaker. They think they're good there, too. So Team Whatley is very, very optimistic getting into this. I just, the Jay Hovey, he seems a little flat-footed. Look, I don't know what you do in this situation, but I think maybe I start – lawyered up, or I find some kind of maybe my own box where I think I could find a few votes on my own. I maybe would have challenged it there, but who knows? The deadlines have passed, and
yeah,
what we hear, what we see, it is what we're going to get.
Well, we'll find out soon. I mean, if Whatley finds two votes, if he finds one household that said they didn't count my vote, that's where he's going for.
One little old lady's all it takes, right?
That's right. Two of them. and then you're back up. All right, Jeff Poore, as always, thanks for your insight, brother. We appreciate you being on today, man.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
All right, that's Jeff Poore, FM Talk 106.5 down in the coastal regions. He's also the political editor for 1819 News. Always has good insights, and we appreciate him being on. All right, folks, listen. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid and conservative and just plain right, and moving to number 3 on the Triple Dipper. By the way, the phone lines will be open. You want to talk about any of this stuff, 866-494-9866. Ring them phones. We'll be right here. Be right back.